You ready for the experience?
Nine. He goes off crazier than usual.
No, seriously, like, I hope we all don't get fired for this.
Blah, 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 blah.
He used to hand out T-shirts, and now somebody's letting him talk on the radio?
Crowd is here, about to blow. They told me to stop the show.
It's the Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Break it down.
Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome to the experience. I am Bo Johnson. With you for the next 2 hours. You can get in touch with the show by calling us 404-726-0929. My guy Guru is on the other side of the glass holding down the phone line there. He can throw you in that call screener that we have. You can also text us on the text line at the same number, 404-726-0929. But I'm having issues with the text line. I've got the text screen. I've got the login pulled up, and it's on some stupid health summary page, and I have no idea how to see the text thread. I will try and work on this and remedy this solution as we trot along here. You can also DM me on Twitter or IG or Facebook if you have my contact info. I am at Jedi Sports Radio across all forms of social media. I tell y'all what, it's been quite the weekend down at the ballpark. First off, Guru, how you doing, man? How was your weekend?
Hey, I've had a great weekend, Bo.
That's fantastic.
A lot of college football playing.
Me too.
Oh, man, I spent way too much time this weekend on that stuff.
We've talked about this before. Are you Xbox or PS? You're PS5.
Xbox.
Oh, you're Xbox?
Yeah.
Oh, we had to go at it one day. Probably I don't do too well against human opponents for whatever reason. I like to play man. Like, I just hate playing zone defense. I'm always in man. So I do line my corners up according to where your corners are, either by, you know, speed or by overall, depending on how fast your guys are. But in the right situation, I get burned a lot.
Yeah,
by the computer, but I try to score on every possession. That's, you know, touchdown every possession. That's my mantra. But how you like it so far? It's been fun. I jumped right in on the, what's it called? It's
CFP. Road to the CFP, I think.
Well, the one where you start as a, where you're playing as yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And you start as like a freshman in college
or
whatever.
Road to Glory.
Yes, Road to Glory. Yeah. So I jumped in there as an underdog where you start as a 60 for Georgia State. I was the third string quarterback for 2 years.
Jeez.
Two full seasons. I had a red shirt, then I had a freshman season. Where I didn't even play a snap. But you still got to do your academics, and you got to practice, and you got to do all these other things. And it goes pretty quickly because you just sim the games if you're not having to play in the, you know, the down or whatever. But I just became the starter in my sophomore year after game one, and we haven't lost a game.
Okay.
And we just got to the end of the season, but I think we're still playing in some crappy bowl. I got us ranked like 22 right in the last game of the season. I don't even know if Georgia State has ever been ranked. So look at what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it, Bo. I haven't gotten to any modes yet. I've just been online with my guys going head-to-head. I've been playing ranked games, trying to climb those leaderboards. But I love it, man. I love the running style. It's different. It's different from Madden,
different. Too. Yeah.
It's better.
No, I think that Madden 25 will probably be a lot more like this one than NCAA 25 is like Madden 24.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's the same game engine, you know. So Madden 25 should resemble this game a lot. It's a lot of fun. Give us a shout if you're out there playing NCAA 25. I just hope that – so I'm going to do a dynasty after I do this mode. I just hope that they've integrated Madden and NCAA to where I can play – I can start a dynasty in NCAA.
Oh, yeah.
Play a full season.
True.
And then go into Madden on a dynasty and import that draft class. And if you can do that, bro, you're set for the next year until these games come out again, because you can go dynasty on NCAA, then dynasty season on Madden, then dynasty season on NCAA, and then so forth and so on. It should never get boring. I'm still got a dynasty that I'm playing right now on Madden 24. You know, so sorry for nerding out on y'all real quick, but hey, that got me in a good mood. Video games, it's happy. Me and my girlfriend Tara, we're watching what's the movie about? I mean, the show about the guy with socks, Ted Lasso. And we just watched an episode where somebody had gotten on to him about playing video games, so he stopped playing for a while.
That's on Apple TV, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he started playing back, and his explanation was, well, video games make me happy. Why would I take something that makes me happy out of my life? And I'm 100% with that. What do you care how old I am and if I'm playing video games or not? So NCAA 25 out there. Lots of fun. Tough week at the ballpark, man. Before we get into today's injuries, or last week's in Max Fried's case, in the next segment, I'm going to play some audio from Snit from before today's game about Max, and then after today's game about Ozzy, and fill you in on all those details. But I've got a small rant first as to this weekend even getting started down at Truist Park. I was there the entire weekend. It's been a long weekend. We were there Friday. We got rained out. We were still open to the ticketed public. And let's say they called the game about 9:30, 10 o'clock. I still got home about 11. So that was about a normal shift. Then we had two games on Saturday, plus I had to be down there for today's game. So the way that this thing was supposed to go before the rainout, we were supposed to see Spencer Schwellenbach on Friday, Charlie Morton on Saturday, Max Fried on Sunday. I had no issues with Spencer Schwellenbach on Friday. Friday would have been Chris Sale's normal rest, 5 days of rest. Saturday would have been 6 days of rest. Sunday would have been a full freaking week since this guy's pitched. Look, I love your predictions, and if you want to talk about those, we can. I heard those on the way in, Guru, about this coming up baseball season. And, look, I'm a sidetracky type person, so I'm going to get sidetracked real fast. I love your Paul Skeens take about winning the Cy Young. The only reason why I disagree with it is because Chris Sale's going to win the Cy Young.
Okay.
Chris Sale's got a longer track record this season. He's going to have to completely just fold. Mm-hmm. Now, look, what Paul Skeens has done, I think he's through 12 starts.
Yeah, May 11th.
I saw my good friend Chip Carey after today's game. You know, he's doing play-by-play for the Cardinals.
That's right.
They've got Paul Skeens this week. They're going to Pittsburgh tonight. So Skeens didn't pitch against the Phillies for whatever reason. We wish that he would have, but the Phillies still, the Pirates still took 2 out of 3, if I'm not mistaken. Phillies won today. If he keeps going at the rate that he's going, there may be a Cy Young race. Now, if I'm not mistaken, he's had about 12 starts. He's still 6-0, I think.
Yeah.
And he set the rookie record for strikeouts in a season already, which is phenomenal. Love that dude. Look, I'm an LSU guy.
I love me some
Paul Skeens, bro. I had, when they were here 2 weeks ago, I finagled some, I buy a lot of baseball cards from Topps Now. I like those living in the moment type cards that they release.
Yeah.
So I bought like 20 Paul Skeens cards from when he made his debut, because they'll stick some refractors in there and some limited editions in there that you'll get sometimes. So I had like 20 of these cards. I brought all 20 of them to the ballpark with me, and I was able to, through certain channels, thank you my my boss down at the Truist Club, Rusty, for making this happen for me, but I got 3 of them signed. I hope my eldest daughter's not listening, because her birthday's in 2 days. I'm going to send her one of them. She is a huge Paul Skeens fan. She's more of a fan of Libby Dunn. But she's entering LSU this semester on something. She's already graduated. She graduated last year, 2 years ago. Well, I don't know. Days are kind of flying. Anyways, I love that take. I don't know if it's going to happen. I want to see how I got Chris Sale. So that's the point of this. The point of this whole conversation piece right now, Chris Sale. The St. Louis Cardinals are a better team than the Cincinnati Reds. If you did not know, the Cincinnati Reds are coming to town tomorrow, the next day. What's today? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Cincinnati Reds, both out of the NL Central. The Cardinals are in second place in the Central and are a little hot right now. And Chip seems to think that they're going to lock up the division over the Milwaukee Brewers. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But what I do know is that the St. Louis Cardinals are a better team than the Cincinnati Reds. We are 8.5 games back of the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, we were 7.5 going into today. We lost day one, so now it's back to 8.5 where we were before the All-Star break. These are games that we have to win. We needed to get off to the second half. It's more like the last third. We've already played 100 games. We got about a third of the season left. So time's ticking. The clock's ticking. We got to win these games. Chris Sale could have – where were you during this first – I don't know if Grant may have gotten into this during his show. I only heard about the first couple of segments of Grant's show. We had a rainout. In Major League Baseball, you can call up a 27th player without wasting an option to send that player back down if you want to. Just because a rule exists doesn't mean that we need to exercise it. Why in the hell do we keep trotting Bryce Elder out there to take losses? It's pretty irritating. He's 1-5 with a something 6 ERA or something. I have it written down here somewhere. It's not good. He hasn't been good. He had a great first half of the season last year. Kudos, Bryce. He's a really nice guy. I met him a couple times. My guy Robbie from Tennis and Coffee that I bartend with at Truist Park actually knows Bryce. But if you are going to exercise the 27th player and bring somebody up to start, I don't know, man. Maybe try somebody else. I'm not sure what A.J. Smith-Shawver's situation is right now. I know he's in Gwinnett, if I'm not mistaken. Ian Anderson's pitching right now. He'll be up at some point, I would imagine. But why did we not have Chris Sale scheduled to pitch at some point this weekend when we're facing a team that we can beat? We are better than the St. Louis Cardinals. They just took 2 out of 3 from us. Chris Sale had a phenomenal first half. I can understand not pitching him on Friday. That's 5 days rest. He has pitched better, him and Ronaldo both, on 6 days rest this season. Okay, that's fine. But why would we not have Sale pitching on that 6 day or even that 7th day of rest and have him pitch Saturday or Sunday so that he can go up against what is a better team than the next team we're going to face, and that's going to be the team that Chris Sale ends up pitching against. It's Ronaldo Lopez tomorrow night, Chris Sale on Tuesday. I get it. Cagey veteran. Had some injuries, got over them, pitched fine last year, but last year was basically year one off of the arm surgery, the elbow surgery, Tommy John, since all the fluky injuries. We've talked about that on this show before. I get it. Get him some rest, but he had a full week off. Where's Chris Sale? So we march Bryce Elder out there in game two on Saturday, and he gives up, 2 home runs, 6 earned runs in 5 innings. We put up 5 runs on game 2. Marcel hit his 28th bomb. Riley hits a bomb. Rosario hits a bomb. Bombs everywhere, flying out of the park. But our pitching staff's just giving up more. I'll rewind to game 1. Charlie Morton did fine. Charlie 6. He went 6, 1 earned run, 4 strikeouts. Eddie hit a bomb. Where was Chris Sale? That's all I want to know. Why did we not pitch Chris Sale at some point during this series with the St. Louis Cardinals? And, of course, today, look, I don't mind Schwelly. The reason why he didn't pitch Schwelly on Saturday is because he already warmed up on Friday. You don't want to take him through that process again. You do need to recover from getting warmed up to start a game. So I'm okay with that. Schwelly didn't do horrible today. He just got bit by the, hey, we can't hit all of a sudden again today bug. But we're creeping out of that. Schwelly goes 6. Gives up 4, strikes out 8 in 6 innings, gives up 3 home runs. Jared Kelnick, the godsend, hits a home run today, his 11th. I haven't even been tracking my expectations for the Braves this season because only 2 of them are living up to it, minus the pitching staff. It's been very underwhelming outside of Marcell Ozuna and Jared Kelnick. My guy Matt Olson's like 4 or 14 for his last 106, I think, or some crazy stat like that. And that was at the beginning of today's game. Not sure what he did today, but I think he was 0-for-4 without it being in front of my face. So that makes him 14 for his last like 110 at-bats. So in his last 110 at-bats, he's like batting like 114, 108. Come on, man, snap out of it, bro. I know you're about to have a baby. Congratulations on that. There's 5 Braves that are about to have babies. I don't know if that has anything to do with the fact that they can't hit. It's got to be something. So, anywho, that was my small rant on this weekend. I just was curious as to where the hell Chris Sale was. I don't know. Like to hear y'all's thoughts. 404-726-0929. When we come back, I'm going to let you hear from the skipper. We suffered a couple injuries this weekend, or one of them was actually last week, but we may be seeing more of Bryce Elder in the following couple of weeks because our boy Max Fried's going to miss a couple of few starts. Ugh, what a night. We'll be right back. Back in about 5 minutes. It's Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Sports Radio 99.9 The Game. Leave it to music to make you feel good. I'll tell you what, it's been a day. Popped a damn tire on my way to work tonight. Peachtree Street reaches out and bites me like nobody else. My last car, I jumped a curb getting onto 400 down off of Peachtree Street, leaving a show after midnight. Tonight, I was turning onto Peachtree Street, hopped a damn curb. Now, I know what you're thinking, but why are you hopping so many damn curbs? Well, look, I'm one of those people that I try to be good to my fellow driver. One of the most annoying things in the world about drivers is that person that doesn't stay in their own lane when they turn. You're in the right lane to turn, turn into the right lane. Don't turn into the second to light right lane. That's why people are scared to go left when you're taking a right. If you're taking a right, stay in your damn lane. But I try to be one of those people, and sometimes when you're trying to stay in your lane, like this corner down here, coming off of Highway 13 on a Peachtree Street, I don't know if the curbs just stuck out there farther there or anything. I've hopped it about 10 times, never blown a tire until tonight. So that sucked. Then I'm down there, it's hot in the parking garage. I got it to the Colony Square. I got it here. Parking garage, about 80 degrees and humid. Down there sweating, dragging my knuckles on the concrete with this rickety, freaking, crankety tire jack thing that they put in vehicles these days, man. Horrible.
And it's not like Dominique Wilkins is just going to walk up to you and try to offer his help like he did me a couple years ago.
Dominique Wilkins offered to help me change a tire?
Yes, sir.
Bro, that's pretty awesome.
That was crazy. That was crazy. I was like, okay.
Were you at the arena?
No. I was actually in Lithonia. I guess that's where he stays. And I was at a Walgreens. And I was just, you know, I had just popped the tire. And about 10 minutes.
He was at a Walgreens in Lithonia.
Yep. A Walgreens on Panola Road in Lithonia. All of a sudden, a Mercedes-Benz parks next to me. I'm like, I didn't notice. But I noticed a tall guy come out the car. I'm like, man, he's tall. I'm like, hold on. Is that neat? And he's kind of looking at me. He's like, I had my window down. I'm looking at him like, we can't eye to eye. He's like, yeah. You good, man? I'm like, yeah, I actually got a, I'll show you later. He gave me a shout out. I was doing a podcast at the time. So he gave me a what do you call those things? He gave me something, you know, a shout out for my podcast. Yeah.
But did he help you change the tire?
Yeah.
He helped you change the tire?
Actually helped.
Good for you, Neek, if you're out there listening to the Bo Johnson Experience tonight. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, that was an experience right
when, back in my Outback days when I was a manager, I had somebody come through. I don't know what happened to her. I don't know if she popped a tire on the way to the restaurant. She was coming to get some to-go food, though. And you're getting to-go food. You're in a car and you leave. But she was coming to get to-go food, and all of a sudden her tire's flat. I don't know how this happened. But I got out there in all my manager clothing and whatnot and changed this woman's tire for her. And I I'm that dude. I will do that.
Mm-hmm.
You stand on the side of the road and I can do it, I will come change your tire for you. I will come pick you up or do whatever. That's just who I am. You got to help people. You got to pay stuff forward. You got to help people these days.
Absolutely.
But no, nobody help me down
no,
there.
No,
not that I need help changing a tire. It's just annoying to have to do it with these rickety, rackety little things. I can't even call it a car jack. That's technically what it is. You got to sit there and piece together the handle, and then you got to twist it, and it falls over about four times. Man. So I just got some interesting news, but I'll get there in a second. All right, so in the next segment, Miles and I are going to play Falcons Make or Break. And this is an idea that I stole from my good friend Abe Gordon. Abe is great at thinking of content ideas. I am horrible at it. So it's going to be a little game. Miles and I are going to play. It's going to go a little something like, what player can severely diminish the Falcons' chances if they have a poor season? And there's three different questions on offense and defense. We're going to shuffle through that. And then we're going to experience the NFL at the top of the hour, and then we're going to experience the headlines at 11:20. Then, of course, ask each other anything, and I got two words for somebody, and it has to do with the British Open or the Open Championship from this week. But Josh Hagedorn will be here at that point. All right, so this morning, the Braves placed Max Fried on the 15-day IL for a forearm injury that it's called neuritis. Never heard of neuritis before this morning. Forearm neuritis. All right. Max said that he felt this while warming up at the All-Star game. Went ahead and pitched his inning. But then come Friday, when he is at the ballpark and doing some throwing to get ready for his start that should have been today originally, he could still feel it. So they got an MRI over the weekend. The MRI came back clean. So it's basically soreness in his forearm, but all the tendons are in place. There's no knee, there's no UCL stress or ruptures or anything awful like that. So I want to play you some audio from Snit talking about Fried, and then we'll get into Ozzie's injury. Here's Snit on Max Fried discovering this arm injury.
He felt it when he was doing arm circles before he pitched at the All-Star game. As guys just kind of get loose, and he felt a little something, and he pitched, and, you know, he got through his inning and all. Then I think when he came in here Friday, he could still feel something, so he wanted to get it checked out. So they did the MRI and all that. You know, it's probably a best-case scenario. I mean, he's going to have to miss a little time, but nothing showed on the MRI or anything, and it's neuritis. And, you know, they'll just put him down until he's asymptomatic, and then he'll start throwing again.
I'm on a text chain with the Vibes person. There's a live customer support on Vibes. That's our text chain thing. It's trying to get this worked out so y'all can text me. All right, so you just heard Snit just there, right there. The reason why he's saying this is probably a good thing that it happened during the All-Star. Had he not been pitching the All-Star game at all, he would have probably experienced this fatigue or soreness today when he's supposed to be making a start. And tell me what a scramble that would have been. We would have been having to send the Wankster wagon over to Gwinnett on triple speed trying to get Bryce Elder over here. Maybe had to helicopter him in. So it's good that we discovered this early. All right, here's another one from Snit further discussing or further talking about. This is this morning before the game because they did place him on the IL this morning. Here's Snit talking about Max feeling this injury at the All-Star game some more.
If something's going to happen, it's going to happen, I think, regardless. But we're going to do everything we can to, you know, to check that box to try and give these guys extra rest to get them through. So, yeah, I don't think that had any bearing. You know, the fact that he pitched me, he was on 5 days. You know, he was fully gassed up and everything. It could have been something that probably might have been worse that if he'd have went out, pitched today, did that, and felt it warming up in the bullpen, and then all of a sudden we had to bang him. So this, you know, if it's going to happen, this might be the best scenario, the way it could happen as far as us as a team.
There you go. That's the skipper. I now, new baseball terminology for me. I did not know that placing someone on the IL was called banging them. That's a completely different terminology than what I am used to growing up. And even on, you know, look, on the Midday Show with Andy Randy, where you can find me Monday through Friday, 11 to 2, we're just a bunch of immature kids, all four of us. And we snickered. You're probably going to hear that cut tomorrow morning when Andy Bunker asked me to play a cut, and we're going to figure out what Snit's talking about. I'm just saying. That's a tease. Tune in. So we had to bang Fried to the IL, 15-day. Here's one more from Snit on Fried about how he's handling the whole thing.
You know, it scares you, alarms you, you know. So, and I said that's why he wanted to get in front of it and make sure it wasn't anything big. But, you know, it's enough that they want to shut him down for a time. And I say once he's asymptomatic, then he'll start throwing again. And hopefully that's sooner than later.
Hopefully sooner than later. Now, word on them streets is, and I got word on the streets about Ozzie too, a little bit. Word on them streets about Fried. You know, I work at Truist Park. I talk to people. Now, the people I talk to, the media doesn't. All right? I talk to a few execs. I talk to a few, not managers. Who are the guys that work out contracts with these guys? Well, I'm brain farting like
agents.
Yeah, agents. Wow. Hey, man. Life comes at you fast.
It's been a long day, Bo.
Sometimes you forget the word agent. I talked to some agents. I talked to some people. Now, word on the street is Max could have probably pitched through this. What's it called again? Neuritis. But, look, Max is being careful for himself. He's going to be a free agent at the end of this season. This little stint on the IL might cost him some millions, but if he were to make it worse, he's definitely costing himself some millions. So I think that it's his idea that he goes on the IL. And look, I can't say that I blame him. Look out for yourself, man. You got to protect that money that you're getting or that you want. So there you have it. Hopefully Max is back in the 15 days. It was retroactive to Thursday, so I guess we got like 9 days left. Hopefully he doesn't miss, but maybe two starts. You know, he already missed one that would have been today, so maybe he misses another one that he would have been in 5 days. Then hopefully maybe he makes his next one. So maybe he misses one start, maybe he misses two. Come on back, Max, because you're having a hell of a season. You're an all-star, and we need you. In the meantime, it's going to be all on Chris Sale. He's having a fantastic season, and let's just hope that it continues. I believe that it will, because what Chris Sale is doing right now is not a fluke. This is Chris Sale. This is the guy that AA traded for, this guy. All right? All right, on to Ozzy. If you saw Ozzy's play, it was in the freaking ninth inning. Stolen base attempt that ends up, the ball ends up in center field. Ozzy collided his hand with the shoulder of the player sliding to second base. No idea who it was, doesn't matter. His hand kind of got bent back to where it looked like the way he was holding it that he may have ripped a ligament in his thumb or his wrist or something like that. And I think that we can probably pray that it wasn't that, because that may be longer than the 8-week timetable. All right. But Ozzy did go through x-rays and MRIs today, and hear a snit post-game talking about Oz.
It's not good. You know, they just don't, I guess right now they don't know exactly what they're going to do. But, you know, I mean, he'll obviously go on the IL. And I didn't even ask. I just came from my office into here. So, I mean, they'll have a full everything probably this evening is what procedures and all that kind of stuff.
All right, so we do now know that Ozzy is hitting the IL and he does have a fractured wrist. His estimated time to return is 8 weeks. This freaking stings. All right, Ozzy wasn't having the best of seasons either, but he wasn't having the worst. Plus, Ozzy's the leader in that clubhouse right now. All right, Ozzy's the chin checker. Ozzy did a great thing for my boy Robbie, did his gender reveal, knows Ozzy pretty well, goes to his foundation events and whatnot. I'm typically having to work during these things and never make it. But Ozzy did a gender reveal for Robbie on Saturday in between games, signed a bat with It's a Boy. Congratulations, Robbie, on the field and whatnot. Anyways, this one stings. Now, I do have it on pretty good authority that it's going to be nacho time in Atlanta. Rumor has it that Nacho Alvarez will be called up to replace Ozzy. Now, you're wondering to yourself, maybe or maybe you're not, can Nacho play second base? Well, of course he can. Half the infielders in Major League Baseball were shortstops at one point. All right, now, you're not going to see 11 move over to second base, because the reason why 11 can hit Orlando Arcia, the reason why he can hit 190 and still be in this lineup is because he's playing gold glove freaking defense. If I'm not mistaken, through 100 and whatever games we've played, he's only made like four errors, and he made one Saturday, I think. But it will not surprise me one bit to see him at least in the conversation for gold glove at the end of the season. So that's why Orlando Arcia is a gold glove shortstop, or at least he is playing like that this season. I don't know that the Braves are going to go looking for a shortstop out there on the market. We got Nacho. I think that's going to be good enough. When you go look on the trade market before the trade deadline in 2 weeks, it's got to be pitching for me, and now even more so. Now this might force their hand a little bit. I don't think that we need to go get an outfielder. Sure, if we can get Cody Bellinger off the Cubs, if they do indeed fire sale, fine. If you don't have to give up a whole lot to get Belly, I would be okay with that. Belly is head above heels better than Duvey and Rosario. But when we get Money Harris back, Money Harris goes back to center field. You can place Kelenic in right, where it's better than a left-hander being in right field anyway, because you don't have to turn to throw the ball. Then you can put Rosario and Duvey back in that platoon in left field, and I think they'll be all right. Of course, Eddie Rosario hits lefties as good as he hits righties, so maybe Duvey just comes in as a pinch hitter every now and again. I just think pitching is a bigger priority than a hitter. Because look, Ronaldo Lopez, all-star. Bryce Elder was an all-star last season. Then he fell apart in the second half. I'm not saying Ronaldo Lopez is going to fall apart in the second half, but Ronaldo Lopez has not been a starting pitcher in years. So now he's doing a great job this season. We don't know how long that's going to last or if he's going to wear down. Plus, look at last year. I don't think Charlie Morton pitched at all in the playoffs because of a blister. And then Max Fried got sick, lost like 15 pounds. He couldn't pitch either when we needed him to. Injuries happen. Sicknesses happen. We need pitching. I'm on board with Mike Bell. Mike Bell was tooting this horn last season, and we didn't really do much at the trade deadline as far as pitching goes. And now we absolutely have to. Don't know what's out there. Don't know who AA is talking to. If you need to, give up one of these starting pitchers that are prospects. If it has to be A.J. Smith, Shauver, so be it. Can't give up Nacho anymore. Nacho looked like a pretty good trade chip for a minute there until this injury with Ozzy. If it's got to be Drake Baldwin, the catcher that's going to probably be coming up in the next couple of years, so be it. The season's not over. We're still well above 500 thanks to that hot start they had in April. But we're 8.5 games back. We got to make moves. We got to get our guys rest, but we still got to use them. We can't be scared of injury. Injuries are going to happen. And don't come at me with this, well, he shouldn't have pitched in the All-Star game. Had Max Fried not pitched in the All-Star game, this same injury would have happened. Except it would have happened this weekend. You know, he was doing freaking arm circles for the love of Pete. So just stay at home. You shouldn't have pitched in the All-Star game, people. All-Star games are fun. They need to do it. Home run derbies are fun. Nothing's wrong with Marcel's swing. He only swung the bat about 30 times. But he still did better than that Mets guy. So there. Here's one more from Snit on all of the daggum injuries we're faced with this season.
Gets to a point where, you know, you kind of it's over the top here a little bit, and it's just you can't cover it. You know, depth will cover to an extent, but after a while, it's hard.
Yeah. You can only have so much organizational depth out there, and it is running thin on us. And what would have been, what should have been, what could still be a World Series season for our Atlanta Braves. We just got to stay in there. Look, hey, season's not lost. You throw us all this crap. Throw it at us. Baseball gods are angry for whatever reason. Throw it at us. We can handle it. We got people in place to make decisions to make us a better ball club when stuff like this happens. You just got to keep the faith. No negative Nancys out there. Nellies, you too. All right, when we come back, Falcons make or break with Bo and the Guru. Sports Radio 99 The Game. We'll be back in about 5 minutes.
The countdown to college.
With more experience.
It's the Bo Johnson Experience
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to The Experience. 10:43 on the Sunday evening. Miles, do you watch House of the Dragon?
So, Bo, I just got into Game of Thrones.
Oh, what season are you in?
I'm on season one.
Oh, wow.
Toward the end, but I can't start.
Get ready for a doozy, brother.
Yeah.
Season one ends with a man.
Yeah, I've heard. I don't know.
It's hard not to hear by now. Yeah. Yeah, Game of Thrones, man. So Tara and I had thought about re-watching Game of Thrones. There's just so many. Bro, that show drains you. Mm. There are so many episodes that are so emotional, and you see so much jacked up stuff that I just don't know if I can do it again. Are you familiar with the books at all?
Not familiar with the books, man. But I know it was a book. Yeah.
Yeah, several books, I think.
Yeah.
Red Wedding. I think that's the title of an episode is Red Wedding, and it's not until season 3, 4, 5 or something like that.
Okay.
But man, one of the emotionally draining, dude. Such a great freaking show. I'm not as a bummer on season 8 as most people are. It was not as good as the other seasons. I just was not happy how the entire show ended.
Mm-hmm.
They just open up so many storylines in Game of Thrones that it really needed another season maybe to pay them all off. So you're left with just some, well, what happened to this person and what happened to that person? But fantastic show. House of the Dragon is amazing too. A lot more dragons, as the title suggests. So 404-726-0929. I'm still working out the vibes thing, the text line thing. You can send them. I don't know, Guru, if you have the text line open in there, if you can see it. I'm trying to screenshot my computer with my phone and put it on this chat line, and something's not working. But, of course, I can't be on the chat line with this person while I'm on the radio, so that would be rude to you all. So 404-726-0929. Give us a shout if you want to chat. Something else I want people to give me a shout about. It's fantasy football time. Now, fantasy football is a year-round thing, but I am the fantasy football analyst here at 929 The Game, and I will have a fantasy football show coming up. But for the next month or so, I'm here with you on Sunday night. We're going to do a series of rankings. It's just I'm counting down the number until we get to September in the first game. I will do some rankings. Maybe we'll start this next week, but I'll rank for you the positions. We're not going to worry about defenses and stupid kickers. You shouldn't have kickers in any of your fantasy football leagues. But we'll rank all the players. I'll take questions. Any questions that you have about fantasy football anytime from now until forever on that same line, 404-726-0929. I'm in the middle of a slow draft in a dynasty right now, and I've already completed a dynasty draft. If you are in a league with any of these sickos who like drafting in July, you need to give them a stern talking to. You should not be drafting. To me, it has to be Labor Day weekend. September, a week before the season starts. I'm waiting as long as possible. Training camp's a pain. And people get hurt. And you like to see how these rookies do. Now, I get it. The NFL drafts players before they – I get it. But this is fantasy football. Fantasy football. So anyways, give me a shout if you have any questions like that. Falcons make or break. There is a series of three questions for both offense and defense. Miles and I are going to answer them for you real fast. I will go first just so that everybody knows how this is going. You can play along if you want. Josh Hagedorn in the building. He can play along if he wants to. There's another microphone over there in the producer studio. All right, so what player can severely diminish the Falcons' chances if they have a poor season? Severely diminish the Falcons' chances of winning, I'm assuming, is what Abe means on this one. And thank you once again for Abe for the content. Excellent content idea thinker-over. I'm not. I can talk about stuff. I'm just not good at thinking about stuff, like coming up with ideas. So for me, we don't want to use Kirk Cousins, because obviously if Kirk Cousins has a bad season, if you see Michael Penix at all this season, during the regular season, the Falcons have either blown everybody out in the NFC South and they're resting Kirk Cousins, or Kirk Cousins is having a crappy season or gets hurt. All right, so take Kirk Cousins out of there. That's the obvious answer. For me, it's Jake Matthews. Kirk Cousins used to be a little mobile. A little. Now he's not mobile. He's coming out the Achilles injury that probably is still not 100%. You absolutely have to protect Kirk Cousins this season. And frankly, it's on both the tackles. But you know who the left tackle is. You're blind side and whatnot. So Caleb McGarry got a ball out too. But if Jake Matthews struggles this season, it will diminish the Falcons' chances of winning anything. Kirk Cousins can't do anything from his back, just like Matt Ryan could. Now, Marcus Mariota could. He could grenade toss that thing. But we don't want Kirk Cousins grenade tossing anything. So for me, it's Jake Matthews. Miles, what say you?
I went in a different route.
All right.
On offense. I went Drake London here.
Okay. I like that. That's because who do we have behind Drake London? I mean, we got Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
But wide receiver two, man, it seems to be kind of wide open.
It is. But one thing about it is Drake finally has a quarterback now.
Man.
You know, and I think we will be able to see all of Drake's skills, on Sundays this season. I think last year with Dez, he had 900 yards, 69 receptions. Four touchdowns?
Yeah.
900 yards, 69 receptions is pretty good.
Decent. Yeah.
Now with Kirk Cousins, I think it goes up. And I really think Drake has a breakout year. I think he becomes a name people recognize.
I believe so, too. And another person that's going to help Drake London out a lot Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Darnell Mooney's a good football player, man. And I know this because I play a crap ton of fantasy football. And I liked having Darnell. He had a 1,000-yard season. He just had quarterback issues, man. And it wasn't even the quarterback's fault in Chicago. It was the coaching staff's fault. Somebody helped that man out, who's now back up in Pittsburgh, or at least we think that he is. I think he may start. I don't know. All right, so let's see. Who on defense? What player can severely diminish the Falcons' chances if they have a poor season? For me, this is Clark Phillips.
Yo, that's me too. You took mine.
Well, I think that's a pretty glaring, obvious answer.
Yeah.
Because, look, everybody's doubting, what do they call him? They call him CP3. But that's Chris Paul's name, I thought. Anyways, he could be the CP3 of football, though. If Clark Phillips has a bad season and gets picked on a lot, and you don't even have to go near A.J. Terrell, bro, Falcons are in trouble. Now, I was going to go the entire defensive line here, too, because pressure from the quarterback is how cornerbacks have good seasons. They got to be able to put pressure on the quarterback. But if Clark Phillips goes out there and just gets picked on, man, Falcons are in trouble, bro. So, yeah, I agree with you there, too.
Yeah, that was
Both say Clark Phillips. What was your reasoning behind that? About matching what I was saying, or did you have something completely a different spin?
Yeah. It's basically what you were saying. If he goes out there and he's getting picked on, it's going to make it tougher for AJ. You know, so hopefully, you know, after last year, hopefully, you know, his rookie campaign, he fixes up some of those kinks, man. Because, you know, he's a starter next to AJ.
So yeah.
We need him to be
in there now.
CB2, not CP3.
All right. So what player now, and he did look, Raheem is a defensive minded guy.
That's right.
And everybody that's working with the Falcons on the defensive side, as far as the coaching staff, they work with secondaries. They come from secondaries. So if they don't think they need to go out and sign somebody else, maybe they see something in Clark Phillips. So there you go, Clark. Ball's in your court. Quite literally. What player takes the Falcons from NFC South champs to NFC contenders with a breakout year on offense? For me, this is Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts, and I firmly believe that Kyle Pitts is in store for a great season. Kyle Pitts had 1,000 yards receiving in his rookie year with Matt Ryan, and then Matt Ryan went away, and then Kyle Pitts also got hurt. And last year he was coming back from that injury, and last year he also had, oh, goodness gracious. Noodle arm quitter, is that what John Furkey calls Mariota? And then who's he called? Desmond. Pick Desmond.
DoorDash.
DoorDash Dez. Hating on DoorDash people. Man, I DoorDash sometimes. It's tough out there in them streets, Freaky. Yeah, man. Not only do I think Kyle Pitts is going to have a great season, but if he does, that's going to elevate the Falcons' passing game by giving Kirk Cousins another route. He's going to have somebody in the short game to dump passes off to in Bijan. He's going to have somebody in the intermediate with Kyle Pitts, and he's going to have great receivers on both sides of him. So Kyle Pitts' breakout season is what can take this Falcon. Now, I'm not saying they're shoe-ins to win the South. Don't get me wrong. It's not. This is Abe's question Abe wrote, and I'm reading it verbatim. I don't know that they're going to be winners of the NFC South right yet. I think it's still pretty wide open. But Kyle Pitts with a breakout season can take them from the South champs to contenders. What say you, Guru?
I went Bijan right here.
Okay.
And I think last year was a great year for him. What do you have, 1,400 yards on the ground?
All-purpose.
All-purpose. You know, led all rookies. But I don't know if you heard the goal he set for himself this year.
It better be a lot.
Yeah. Oh, it was.
It's coming.
He said he wants 2,000. He wants 2,000.
He can get there.
Exactly. And I think with Bijan, you know, playing at the top of his game, it's sky's the limit for this team. Because he changes your defensive schemes. He changes everything, I think.
Look, y'all were both with me some last season, man, and I was all over Bijan preseason going into fantasy football drafts. I had no issues with anybody drafting Bijan one overall. Now, had he had better quarterback play last season, you would have seen a lot more than 1,400 yards. He had like 900 rushing and then had a lot in the passing game too. Bijan can get every bit of that 2,000 yards. And unlike Arthur Smith, playing around with like not using Bijan, he got like one goal line touchdown or one goal line carry, some stupid stat like that. five goal line carries all season or something like that? Bro, Raheem going to unleash Bijan, bro. And Bijan's going to – he may get 2,000. I got no idea what you – look, you're going to draft CMC one overall this season because CMC played 15 out of 16 or 16 out of 17 games last. Stop worrying about the injuries. All right, he's healthy. But after that, it can be Bijan. I got no issues with it. All right? I think Saquon's going to have a great season too. He goes from the worst freaking offensive line in football to the best. Don't give me the Jalen Hurts going to steal touchdowns from him because Jalen Hurts, to do the tush push, needs Jason Kelce to pull that off as well as they did. All right, we got to fly through these. All right, so what defensive player takes the Falcons from NFC South champs to NFC contenders with a breakout year? Clark Phillips.
Oh, you went Clark again, huh?
Is that cheating?
No, it's not.
If Clark Phillips holds his own,
yeah,
and can be, for the love of Pete, somebody else be a ball-hawking defender. Somebody else go up and catch the ball. Play the ball, not the person. All right, A.J. Terrell is great at breaking up passes, but dude, did he even have a pick last year? I know Jesse Bates ended up with six, but Jesse Bates can't be the only ball hawk back there. If Clark Phillips can put together a great corner season, you know, for the love of Pete, maybe an all-pro season, bro, he can take the Falcons, he can elevate the Falcons to contenders next year or this year.
I agree. I went Arnold Ebiketie right here.
Because, step your game up.
Yeah, if EB's having a breakout year, you know what that means for the team. Sacks, and more sacks.
And they
sacks.
Need it too, man, because they had like 14 sacks, not even with the team anymore from last year.
That's right.
Or 13 or something like that. Somebody's got to get back there.
Yeah, and under a new coaching and more of a starting role, I got EB.
Also think if Grady has a breakout year. Now, Grady's had breakout years, but look, he's coming off injury, so he could have another breakout year. I mean, this is our game. We can make up the rules as we go along. Somebody on the defensive line needs to have a breakout year. I don't know who in the hell it's going to be. But if Clark Phillips, look, he can go either way. The defense may go as he goes this season because you can't just go up against – look, even the Saints with Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed, you can't let one of those guys out there on an island with Clark Phillips. Or if you're having to double up both, you know, man, go out there and have your year, Clark. All right, what player can the Falcons survive having just an average or below average season with? This one may shock you. On offense, I think the Falcons can survive if Bijan Robinson has an average or below average season. Mm. And it's mainly because of Tyler Algier, who did have 1,000 yards rushing in his rookie season before Bijan came along. Now, look, I'm not sitting here trying to say that Tyler Algier is as good as Bijan, because he's not. But he's...
with more experience.
It's the Bo Johnson Experience.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Welcome back to The Experience. 10:43 on the Sunday evening. Miles, do you watch House of the Dragon?
So, Bo, I just got into Game of Thrones.
Oh, what season are you in?
I'm on season one.
Oh, wow.
Toward the end, but I can't start.
Get ready for a doozy, brother.
Yeah.
Season one ends with a man.
Yeah, I've heard. I don't know.
It's hard not to hear by now. Yeah, Game of Thrones, man. So, Tara and I had thought about re-watching Game of Thrones. There's just so many... Bro, that show drains you. Mm. There are so many episodes that are so emotional, and you see so much jacked up stuff that I just don't know if I can do it again. Are you familiar with the books at all?
Not familiar with the books, but I know it was a book. Yeah.
Yeah, several books, I think.
Yeah.
Red Wedding. I think that's the title of an episode. Is Red Wedding, and it's not until season 3, 4, 5 or something like that.
Okay.
But, man, emotionally draining, dude. Such a great freaking show. I'm not as a bummer on season 8 as most people are. It was not as good as the other seasons. I just was not happy how the entire show ended.
Mm-hmm.
They just open up so many storylines in Game of Thrones that it really needed another season maybe to pay them all off. So you're left with just some, well, what happened to this person and what happened to that person? But fantastic show. House of the Dragon is amazing too. A lot more dragons, as the title suggests. So 404-726-0929. I'm still working out the vibes thing, the text line thing. You can send them. I don't know, Guru, if you have the text line open in there, if you can see it. I'm trying to screenshot my computer with my phone and put it on this chat line, and something's not working. But, of course, I can't be on the chat line with this person while I'm on the radio, so that would be rude to you all. So 404-726-0929. Give us a shout if you want to chat. Something else I want people to give me a shout about. It's fantasy football time. Now, fantasy football is a year-round thing, but I am the fantasy football analyst here at 929 The Game, and I will have a fantasy football show coming up. But for the next month or so, I'm here with you on Sunday night. We're going to do a series of rankings. It's just I'm counting down the number until we get to September in the first game. I will do some rankings. Maybe we'll start this next week, but we're going to do – I'll rank for you the positions. We're not going to worry about defenses and stupid kickers. You shouldn't have kickers in any of your fantasy football leagues. But we'll rank all the players. I'll take questions. Any questions that you have about fantasy football anytime from now until forever on that same line, 404-726-0929. I'm in the middle of a slow draft in a dynasty right now, and I've already completed a dynasty draft. If you are in a league with any of these sickos who like drafting in July, you need to give them a stern talking to. You should not be drafting. To me, it has to be Labor Day weekend. September, a week before the season starts. I'm waiting as long as possible. Training camp's a pain. And people get hurt. And you like to see how these rookies do. Now, I get it. The NFL drafts players before they – I get it, but this is fantasy football. Fantasy football. So anyways, give me a shout if you have any questions like that. Falcons make or break. There is a series of three questions for both offense and defense. Miles and I are going to answer them for you real fast. I will go first just so that everybody knows how this is going. You can play along if you want. Josh Hagedorn in the building. He can play along if he wants to. There's another microphone over there in the producer studio. All right, so what player can severely diminish the Falcons' chances if they have a poor season? Severely diminish the Falcons' chances of winning, I'm assuming, is what Abe means on this one. And thank you once again for Abe for the content. Excellent content idea thinker-over. I'm not. I can talk about stuff. I'm just not good at thinking about stuff, like coming up with ideas. So for me, we don't want to use Kirk Cousins because obviously if Kirk Cousins has a bad season, if you see Michael Penix at all this season during the regular season, the Falcons have either blown everybody out in the NFC South and they're resting Kirk Cousins, or Kirk Cousins is having a crappy season or gets hurt. All right, so take Kirk Cousins out of there. That's the obvious answer. For me, is Jake Matthews. Mm. Kirk Cousins used to be a little mobile. A little. Now he's not mobile. He's coming out the Achilles injury that probably is still not 100%. You absolutely have to protect Kirk Cousins this season. And frankly, it's on both the tackles. But you know who the left tackle is. Your blind side and whatnot. So Caleb McGarry got a ball out too. But if Jake Matthews struggles this season, it will diminish the Falcons' chances of winning anything. Kirk Cousins can't do anything from his back, just like Matt Ryan could. Now, Marcus Mariota could. He could grenade toss that thing, but we don't want Kirk Cousins grenade tossing anything. So for me, it's Jake Matthews. Miles, what say you?
I went in a different route.
All right.
On offense. I went Drake London here.
Okay. I like that. That's because who do we have behind Drake London? I mean, we got Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
But wide receiver two, man, it seems to be mm-hmm. kind of wide open.
It is. But one thing about it is Drake finally has a quarterback now.
Man.
You know, and I think we will be able to see all of Drake's skills, you know, on Sundays this season. I think last year with Dez, he had 900 yards, 69 yeah. receptions. What, four touchdowns?
Yeah.
You know, 900 yards, 69 receptions is pretty good.
Decent. Yeah.
You know, now with Kirk Cousins, I think it goes up. And I really think Drake has a breakout year. I think he becomes a name people recognize.
I believe so, too. And another person that's going to help Drake London out a lot Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Darnell Mooney's a good football player, man. And I know this because I play a crap ton of fantasy football. And I liked having Darnell. He had a 1,000-yard season. He just had quarterback issues, man. And it wasn't even the quarterback's fault in Chicago. It was the coaching staff's fault. Somebody helped that man out, who's now back up in Pittsburgh, or at least we think that he is. I think he may start. I don't know. All right, so let's see. Who on defense? What player can severely diminish the Falcons' chances if they have a poor season? For me, this is Clark Phillips.
Yeah, that's me too. You took mine.
But I think that's a pretty glaring, obvious answer.
Yeah.
Because, look, everybody's doubting, what do they call him? They call him CP3. But that's Chris Paul's name, I thought. Anyways, he could be the CP3 of football, though. If Clark Phillips has a bad season and gets picked on a lot, and you don't even have to go near A.J. Terrell, bro, Falcons are in trouble. Now, I was going to go the entire defensive line here, too, because pressure from the quarterback is how cornerbacks have good seasons. They got to be able to put pressure on the quarterback. But if Clark Phillips goes out there and just gets picked on, man, Falcons are in trouble, bro. So, yeah, I agree with you there, too.
Yeah, that was
Both say Clark Phillips. What was your reasoning behind that? About matching what I was saying, or did you have something completely different spin?
Yeah. It's basically what you were saying. If he goes out there and he's getting picked on, it's going to make it tougher for AJ. You know, so hopefully, you know, after last year, hopefully, you know, his rookie campaign, he fixes up some of those kinks, man. Because, you know, he's a starter next to AJ.
So yeah.
We need him to be
CB2,
not CP3.
All right. So what player – now, and he did – look, Raheem is a defensive-minded guy.
That's right.
And everybody that's working with the Falcons on the defensive side as far as the coaching staff, they work with – secondaries, they come from secondaries. So if they don't think they need to go out and sign somebody else, maybe they see something in Clark Phillips. So there you go, Clark. Ball's in your court. Quite literally. What player takes the Falcons from NFC South champs to NFC contenders with a breakout year on offense? For me, this is Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts, and I firmly believe that Kyle Pitts is in store for a great season. Kyle Pitts had 1,000 yards receiving in his rookie year with Matt Ryan, and then Matt Ryan went away, and then Kyle Pitts also got hurt. And last year he was coming back from that injury, and last year he also had, oh, goodness gracious. Noodle arm quitter, is that what John Fricke calls Mariota? And then who's he called? Desmond?
DoorDash Dez.
Hating on DoorDash people. Man, I DoorDash sometimes. It's tough out there in them streets, Freaky. Yeah, man. Not only do I think Kyle Pitts is going to have a great season, but if he does, that's going to elevate the Falcons' passing game by giving Kirk Cousins another route. He's going to have somebody in the short game to dump passes off to in Bijan. He's going to have somebody in the intermediate with Kyle Pitts, and he's going to have great receivers on both sides of him. So Kyle Pitts' breakout season is what can take this Falcon. I'm not saying they're shoe-ins to win the South. Don't get me wrong. It's not. This is Abe's question Abe wrote, and I'm reading it verbatim. I don't know that they're going to be winners of the NFC South right yet. I think it's still pretty wide open. But Kyle Pitts with a breakout season can take them from the South champs to contenders. What say you, Guru?
I went Bijan right here.
Okay.
And I think last year was a great year for him. What do you have, 1,400 yards on the ground?
All-purpose.
You know, led all rookies. But I don't know if you heard the goal he set for himself this year.
It better be a lot.
Yeah. Oh, it was.
It's coming.
He said he wants 2,000. He wants 2,000.
He can get there.
Exactly. And I think with Bijan, you know, playing at the top of his game, it's sky's the limit for this team. Because he changes your defensive schemes. He changes everything. I think.
Look, y'all were both with me some last season, man, and I was all over Bijan preseason going into fantasy football drafts. I had no issues with anybody drafting Bijan one overall. Now, had he had better quarterback play last season, you would have seen a lot more than 1,400 yards. He had like 900 rushing and then had a lot in the passing game too. Bijan can get every bit of that 2,000 yards. And unlike Arthur Smith, playing around with like not using Bijan, he got like one goal line touchdown or one goal line carry, some stupid stat like that. 5 goal line carries all season or something like that? Bro, Raheem going to unleash Bijan, bro. And Bijan's going to – he may get 2,000. I got no idea what you – look, you're going to draft CMC 1 overall this season because CMC played 15 out of 16 or 16 out of 17 games last. Stop worrying about the injuries. All right, he's healthy. But after that, it can be Bijan. I got no issues with it. All right? I think Saquon's going to have a great season too. He goes from the worst freaking offensive line in football to the best. Don't give me the Jalen Hurts going to steal touchdowns from him because Jalen Hurts, to do the tush push, needs Jason Kelce to pull that off as well as they did. All right, we got to fly through these. All right, so what defensive player takes the Falcons from NFC South champs to NFC contenders with a breakout year? Clark Phillips.
Oh, you went Clark again, huh?
Is that cheating?
No, it's not. It's
if
not.
Clark Phillips holds his own,
yeah,
and can be, for the love of Pete, somebody else be a ball-hawking defender, somebody else go up and catch the ball, play the ball, not the person. All right, A.J. Terrell is great at breaking up passes, but dude, did he even have a pick last year? I know Jesse Bates ended up with 6, but Jesse Bates can't be the only ball hawk back there. If Clark Phillips can put together a great corner season, you know, for the love of Pete, maybe an all-pro season, bro, he can take the Falcons, he can elevate the Falcons to contenders next year or this year.
I agree. I went Arnold Ebiketie right here.
Step your game up.
Yeah. If EB's having a breakout year, you know what that means for the team. Sacks, and more sacks.
And they
sacks.
Need it too, man, because they had like 14 sacks, not even with the team anymore from last year.
That's right.
Or 13 or something like that. Somebody's got to get back there.
Yeah. And under a new coaching and more of a starting role, I got EB.
Also think if Grady has a breakout year. Now, Grady's had breakout years, but look, he's coming off injury, so he could have another breakout year. I mean, this is our game. We can make up the rules as we go along. Somebody on the defensive line needs to have a breakout year. I don't know who in the hell it's going to be. But if Clark Phillips, look, he can go either way. The defense may go as he goes this season because you can't just go up against – look, even the Saints with Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed, you can't let one of those guys out there on an island with Clark Phillips. Or if you're having to double up both, you know, man, go out there and have your year, Clark. All right, what player can the Falcons survive having just an average or below average season with? This one may shock you. On offense, I think the Falcons can survive if Bijan Robinson has an average or below average season. Mm. And it's mainly because of Tyler Algier, who did have 1,000 yards rushing in his rookie season before Bijan came along. Now, look, I'm not sitting here trying to say that Tyler Algier is as good as Bijan because he's not. But he's capable. He's a capable running back. They might be the best backup running back in the league next to my boy David Montgomery over there in Detroit. But he's a top 5 backup running back in the NFL, meaning if Bijan were to get hurt, he can step right in and take the workload. Not all these backups in the NFL can do that. All right. What you got over there?
I went Kyle Pitts here.
All right.
I went Kyle Pitts here. And this is
sort of – they've done it before.
Exactly.
But they haven't had good seasons the last 2 seasons.
Exactly, though. But so, I feel like they've done it before. You said it. And this is sort of a make-it-break-it year for him. You know, they picked up the 5th-year option on him. You know, so he's sort of like – if you're going to perform to get paid, you need to perform now.
Yeah.
Now is the time. But I don't know, man, if I'm high on Kyle Pitts anymore. I just think if whatever he gives
us,
he gives
us. You've seen him be great.
Yes, and I know it's a new quarterback and everything. It's just –
look, man, he's the closest thing that Kyle Pitts has seen to Matt Ryan. And I'm not saying Kirk Cousins is Matt Ryan, but he's damn near as good. He can sit back there and chuck the ball down the field. He makes accurate passes. You know, Kyle Pitts can get open. He'll get the ball, and he'll get the ball a lot. So, but no, I agree because they don't have, outside of his rookie season, they don't have anything from Kyle Pitts the last 2 years. Now, they weren't successful with Kyle Pitts having crappy seasons. All right, on defense, what player can the Falcons survive having just an average or below average season? On defense, get McKee Sweat on here. Nobody. Look, if anybody has an average
like
or below
that,
average season on defense for this Falcons defense, like I think they got troubles. I think they got troubles here right now. If somebody has a below average season on defense, man, they in some trouble. What you got on over there before we have to get to break real fast?
Man, I don't like my answer. I like yours better now. But I went Jesse Bates, man. I just don't know. If he doesn't have a year, an all-pro year like he had last year, I think, you know, it's cool. We don't need him
if
to have
Clark
an all-pro.
Phillips steps up.
Exactly. And that means other people are stepping up.
And A.J. Terrell's got to play at the – he had a good rookie season. I don't know what happened in the last couple. Man, they got the Vikings this year. I'm excited to see Justin Jefferson go at A.J. Terrell again. Look, you know I'm an LSU fan. I was in the building for Justin Jefferson just scorching freaking A.J. Terrell when they played Clemson.
That game. Okay.
Yeah. All right, we got to get out of here. Hour number two is up next. Miles, appreciate you, bro. Great job on Falcons make or break. We got to take a break. We're back in 5 minutes. Sports Radio 99.9 The Game.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.